At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. And let us surprise you.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Hey, it's your girl, Titi Torres, and let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a mother, a wife, plus a 20-year multimedia executive and personality,
and your host of Tap In with Titi, the podcast,
where the culture speaks loud and clear. I'm having conversations with your favorite artists, rising stars, movers and shakers,
from the streets to the boardrooms, from healing to hustle.
New episodes every week on the Odyssey Creators Live,
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your audio.
So tap in with me, Titi.
What are you waiting for?
She moved to a small town where the rule of law still exists. You will not survive here. You're not a wolf. And this is the land of wolves now.
So my next pick, I'm not as confident that you may have watched it. But I'm going to, if you haven't, I'll do my best to summarize it, because it is, there's a bit to digest here.
This is where it gets very interesting, because I was fairly confident you would take Sicario.
Okay.
When I took One Battle. So
sure.
But yeah. Now I truly don't know where you're going to go.
Okay. All right. Same. I'll be honest. So I thought Sicario would have been your number one, cause I don't know how it's not. I mean, that's why I said, like, it's the movie that when you think of Benicio, it's the first thing you think of now. I think that just demonstrates how amazing that character and performance in the movie was. Anyways, I'll stop jerking off to Sicario. Let's move on.
No, don't ever stop touching yourself to Sicario. If there's one thing I want to tell you, it's that.
You heard it here, folks. It's okay to masturbate to Sicario. Okay. I don't really have I should have pulled up a quote, but I don't have one. So I will just say, this. This is a true story. It happened in 2015. This is Escape at Dannemora.
So you're a 51-year-old woman who's been with the same man for 20 years, 21 years? So we can have an adult conversation.
Okay.
Did you have sex with these two inmates?
No.
I just figured you're friends with my friend. That makes us friends.
What's going on with you and Tilly?
Maybe we can arrange a get together soon.
I'm down there every night. I'm cutting the pipe. I'm doing the work. And all you do is sleep.
Nobody knows about a marriage except the people in the marriage, and sometimes even they don't know.
So you want to be part of my dream?
Yes.
Say it.
I want to be a part of your dream.
If you feel that it's real, I'm on trial, and I'm here again, your prison.
You focus on something in your mind.
Through a glass eye,
you feel it in your heart.
The one danger zone.
And you commit to it.
To the pilot for control.
It will come true.
Take me to the pilot.
For once in our lives, we're winning.
Whatever you knew them to be while they were in there, they're in a lot different circumstances now.
Sure, there's a dark side, but there's also a very human side.
Did you ask her why she was giving that meat?
No, I knew we were in a gray area with the meat.
Wouldn't it be convenient to be the only person who lives to tell the story?
I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, not really wrong.
This is my number three.
Amazing. Okay, so you've seen it.
Oh yeah, multiple times.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad I didn't take both your choices. So you have number two sitting in the wings. Or no, now all three of yours are gone.
My top three, but I got a four. I'm
Okay,
good.
cool. Okay,
No,
great.
listen, this
Okay,
is how the
great.
draft works.
Okay, great. Awesome. Oh, I'm so glad. So ironically, this comes out like 2 years after Sicario. I think it's like the next thing he works on, I think, is this movie. Or this film. This show, excuse me. Yeah, so for those listening, this came out. This is a streaming show, 7 episodes, miniseries, on Showtime. It premiered on November 18th, 2018. I did not watch this live. I found this 2 years later. I think I found this on Amazon, or I think it might have come on Netflix because I didn't have Showtime. Who has? I don't have Showtime. This is back when Netflix was usually enough. You could survive on Netflix. You didn't need like 8 million streaming channels. You know
Sure.
what I mean? And
Yeah.
Showtime was like kind of like an afterthought. I was like, Showtime. Like, I didn't really watch Dexter. I know people love Dexter, but I was like, I don't need Showtime. So it comes up on Netflix, and I think I just popped it on because I was like, oh yeah, because this happened, not too far away from me. I'm from Vermont. I grew up
No
in Vermont.
shit.
This is in upstate New York, and across Lake Champlain. And I was actually at a wedding when this happened in Vermont.
Oh,
I remember
God.
being in my hotel, putting on the news, and being like, two escaped convicts are thought to be in Vermont right now. We're like, oh my God, this is really terrifying. So I have like a connection to this, in a way, because I vividly remember it happening, and everyone thought they were coming. I don't think they actually ended up being in Vermont. Everyone thought they were in Vermont, but they actually ended up like going north towards Canada. So where do I start? So yes, Escape at Dannemora is a limited series based on the true story of the 2015 prison break from the Clinton Correctional Facility in Dannemora, New York. The series chronicles how two convicted murderers, Richard Matt, played by our one and only Benicio del Toro, and David Sweat, played by Paul Dano, managed to escape the maximum security prison with the help of Tilly Mitchell, played by the infamous Patricia Arquette, a married prison employee who becomes romantically entangled with both men. As the story unfolds, the show delves into a complex emotional and psychological dynamics between the three essential characters, and then some. Holy shit! Tilly stuck stuck Tilly stuck in a dead end life and unnurturing, unfulfilling marriage, is manipulated and manipulative in her own right while becoming increasingly complicit in the escape plot. The series meticulously follows the planning, execution of the escape, as well as the intense manhunt that ensued, capturing the media frenzy and small town tension that gripped the nation. And I'll just say this: this was directed by Ben Stiller, right? Not
Yes.
something you would think he would be have the aptitude to accomplish, but holy shit, I think that's what makes it even more intriguing and fascinating is that Ben Stiller directed this incredible show, like
Yeah.
absolutely incredible show. It's like it he takes this slow burn approach, emphasizing the realism, the psychological tension, and the moral grayness of everyone involved. A little bit about the critical reception. So it received critical acclaim for all its performances. They all got nominated for Emmys and Golden Globes. The series holds a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes and a Metacritic score of 78 out of 100. So really well received there. 12 Emmy nominations, including Outstanding Limited Series. Patricia, Benicio, and I think Paul Dano all got nominated. And then Arquette actually went on to win the Golden Globe and a Screen Actors Guild for her performance. And she is phenomenal. I know this is a Benicio del Toro podcast right now, but Patricia Arquette, you might want to put her in your rotation if you haven't already, John, because this girl has got a stacked resume of performances, and this one is right up there. I'm from a small town in New England, upstate New York, kind of similar. Her accent, her mannerisms, the wardrobe, the makeup, bro, it is like this woman was plucked from a small town upstate New York. It's like it's insane. And you watch her do interviews about the character, you're like, oh my God, this is why you pay people a lot of money to get a character right. Like you pay your costume designer, you pay your makeup artist, you pay the talent, you pay the director, you pay the actor who's able to do all this stuff. The guy who plays her husband, Eric Lang, who plays Lyle Mitchell, holy shit.
Great.
Holy shit. I mean, it was such a delight rewatching this because I'd only seen it once, and it was during that Netflix thing when I watched it. It was probably back in 2019, I think I watched it, and I hadn't watched it since. And dude, when that guy came on screen, I was like, oh my God, that's right. This guy is so good. I was like, I think he might have been like a no-name actor. Bro, he is not a no-name actor. I looked him up. This guy, Eric Lang, has been in the business for a long time, and he does not talk like that. He does not look like that. Like, he is a well-to-do, very professional actor. And good God, like, talk about a transformational performance. We're gonna get to Benicio. He's the star of the show. But I gotta give props to that guy as well as Patricia Arquette, who like really brought it. But Eric Lang as Lyle Mitchell and Patricia Arquette as Tilly Mitchell. These are the reasons you have the fact that they didn't win aggravates me because I think like Sharp Objects came out or something else came out that was like kind of
Oh God, sharp objects.
sweeping.
Ugh.
I don't take. I may
Oh
be wrong.
God.
I might have the year wrong, but I was looking at like who like how did this not win anything? And some other show came about and like did some. It might have honestly been like maybe Barry came along and Barry won some stuff.
Okay, that's fine.
Which
Not
I think,
sharp
yeah, not
objects.
Sharp Objects. No, I get it. I get it. Yeah, that was such a that was a stupid show.
I talk about Patricia for a second?
Please.
Top 10 all-time movie crush is Patricia Arquette from True Romance. Alabama Whirly is how can I be a decent guy talking about that performance?
God damn it. She
Formative. I'll say it was formative. Well, one
is.
of the hottest things I've ever seen in my life is Alabama Whirly. She
Oh,
is
damn.
like a brain scrambler. But the guy, you
Damn.
said his name, Eric Lang, that was this guy's
Eric
name.
Lang. Yes, Eric Lang.
He just it feels like they just took him from the actual town
That's
and put him
correct.
in front of the camera. I had no idea who this guy was. I was like, this guy just is that guy.
And that's honestly, John, like what rewatching, I'm like, oh yeah, is this guy a no name actor that they just plucked off the street? No, he's not. Oh my God, he's actually a real actor. That
He's so
was like
good.
so good, dude. The accent. He said I watched some interviews. He only because the guy only did Lyle only did one interview when this happened. He did it with the Today Show. And he said, that's all I had to work with. And so I watched that video like a million times, and that's how I got the mannerisms down. And you watch that interview, you're like, oh my God, like it's so good. How good he did to nail who this guy was. Okay. Anyways, yes, yeah, big shout out to that. Let me just talk about the show in general. So to me, I was rewatching it, and to me, it's like this show feels like a painting. Like this is like a beautiful fucking tapestry painting that I want to see in a museum. It's the realism. Like they shot so much of it at the actual prison in Dannemora. Like they were granted specific like permissions to do certain things in the prison, and it's shot by his go-to DP, Jessica Gagne, who is I think a French Canadian cinematographer. She's done all of his Severance shows, all the Severance episodes as well. It's like and beautifully fucking shot. It's got so many textures, the art direction, the makeup, the art, like everything is so lived in. And it's like so refreshing to watch a show like that where they actually like make the clothes feel lived in. It seems like such a simple thing to do, but dude, there's so many shows now that come out where you're like, did they just pull this off the rack? Like, have they been? Is this a coat they've worn for like 10 minutes? It's like, good God, it's like they don't put any money into making things feel real and lived in, and it shows, and it just takes you out of it, out of the world, and this world is so lived in and so real. And you shot in the location. I love that it's shot in like upstate New York in a small town. They shot at the actual like the exteriors of the town, like the damn thing that they escaped out of, the damn manhole cover on the it's still there, and they shot it there. I mean, think about this, man. Like this happened in 2015. The show comes out in 2018. So like it came it, 3 years later, you know what I mean? Like it's obviously the stuff's still there, you know? I'm just a sucker for that shit. I love when stuff is shot at the actual place. It just to me it just gets me excited. I'm on the edge of my seat, like, oh shit, this is actually, you know, and like the winter scene, like they nailed the cold winter, like the way what Tilly wears, you know, to and from work, what Lyle wears to and from work is like perfect, you know, small town, New England, you know, upstate New York, like, you know, just above the poverty line kind of stuff. Like that all, it's just like impeccably crafted show where every attention to detail, you can see how much attention to detail they had in this show, and it makes the world feel so much more lived in.
It's riveting. The whole thing is riveting.
The whole thing is riveting. And it's such a slow burn too. Like, yes. I think some people, you know, I read some reviews and like people are saying that it could have been a little, the slow burn, like, it could have been a little, I could have watched 15 episodes of this show. Like, it could have just kept going. I loved everything about it. And I think I'm a sucker for like prison stuff. Like, I loved Escape of Alcatraz. Shawshank Redemption is probably top five all time for me, you know, in terms of movies that really stuck with me and made me want to pursue this as a career.
Oh yeah.
I'm a big sucker for prison movies. There's something about being trapped and trying to escape that is just such a sexy idea, right? It's just so exciting. It's like, it doesn't matter what they did to get in there. You want to see if they can get out. Like, you're still going to root for them to get out because of how awful prison is. It's like, you want them to get out.
And this is a real story. So you want to see, oh, they actually did it. So how did they actually do it?
How did they do it? How did they absolutely do it, dude?
That's why it has to be patient. That's why the script and the pacing is so spot on. Because I want to take your time. Show me every single detail. How the hell did these guys get out of this place? I want to know everything.
Pressure, was it Shawshank Redemption? Pressure, geology is a study of pressure and time. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to pull something off like this. And at the heart of it is, you know, our two leads, which is three leads, really. I don't want to leave Tilly out. But our two leads, our two male leads are Benicio and Paul Dano. And I want to give props to Paul Dano. Paul Dano has been around the business for a long time, always shows up, always gives his all, always gives a great performance. And I want to give my props to Paul Dano because he's a real one. We need more Paul Danos out there who are not like in it to be famous, but are actually in it for the work and choose their roles very, very intelligently. So shout out to Paul Dano because he's great in this.
Playing like somewhat believably tough, but not too tough, you know?
Right.
Just like a guy who can get by.
He actually goes out of his way to avoid, you know, kind of fights throughout the show. Cause I don't think he's not someone who wants to fight, but he can if he has to.
Yeah. And it would have been tough to believe that.
Yeah. Right. Sure. Exactly. Okay. For those who don't know, David Sweat and Tilly Mitchell played by Patricia Arquette, you know, this entanglement is what's this Tilly's looking to, you know, she's in a very unfulfilling marriage with her husband Lyle, and she finds I guess life again. I mean, it's never really explained like why she's, you don't really know why they start, you don't see the start of it all. We're thrown into the middle of this affair, and essentially her and David Sweat are having, you know, sexual intercourse in the back room of the tailor shop where the prisoners are making pants on a daily basis. And the way that scene is, so that's when you know you're in for a fucking ride, because that happens very casually. It's not like a big moment. It's just sort of like, Sweat, come help me grab something in the back. Very innocent. Mm-hmm. Sweat goes back there. He closes the door, and it's like a wide shot that then pans with David as he walks over. And then it pans to, and Patricia Arquette is like bent over and like pulling her panties down. He just starts undoing his stuff, and they just start going to town in like a wide shot, and just like, okay, here we go. And I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? What is this? Is this how it really went down? And it just, you know, obviously that's how it's a bold move, but it's also like a great way to show like, this is how it's going to be. This is what you're in for. It's not going to be overly sensational. You know, it's going to be very slow, patient. It's just gonna, and we're just gonna show you what happens, and it's not gonna be overcut or anything like that. Like, so many of these great scenes happen in a one-er, in a very small, very you know, limited camera work, limited coverage, maybe one or two different camera looks, you know, just the cameras moving a little bit here, a little bit there. That's just the heart, that's really at the heart of the show. So let me talk about why we're here. Benicio del Toro, he plays Richard Matt. Is kind of a kingpin of the honor block. Both Richard and David Sweat are part of the honor block, which means that they're in there for life, but they have good behavior, so they get sort of like special privileges. And you learn that through the first episode that Richard Matt has a lot more privileges and a lot more power than a lot of the other prisoners because of his relationship with the guard, specifically an escort guard played by, what the fuck's it? David Morse.
Yeah.
David Morse, who's also a legendary character actor who's been around a long time, and he is so good in this too, man. God, he got everybody to just give like fucking awesome performances that just felt so real and so grounded. Didn't feel like acting at all. It was just, oh my God, perfection.
There's nothing in the whole run of this show that feels made up or sensationalized. It really just felt like they told it as it was.
As it happened. Yeah, as it happened. And it's so refreshing to not feel like you're being manipulated. It's like, oh, this is exactly how it should. This is exactly what I would do as a character. This is what, if I was in my shoes, I would do this. If I was not gonna do that. And it's like, oh yeah, all these decisions make sense. Their motivations make sense. It's like the way information is given to us, even all the way up to the, what I think is one of the greatest episodes of the series is the episode 6, where you actually learn what they did and how they got there. And such a pivot, but like such a badass pivot, especially the opening when you're just following that cop around. Oh my God.
Oh God.
Oh my God. That's like the epitome of a slow burn with such, that is so worth it.
Yeah.
So worth it. You know, it's like, that's how you pay off a fucking slow burn right there. That's when you know you're in the hands of a competent filmmaker and storyteller. And it's mind blowing that, you know, Ben Stiller could do. I mean, it shouldn't be that, because like he's made some great movies, but they're always comedy, you know, like they're comedy based. And I think this was his first departure in terms of tone for him being behind the camera, as far as I know, that he hadn't really directed anything drama that I'm aware of.
No, he has a really interesting sensibility, because, you know, he does the Cable Guy, which was so polarizing back in the day.
Dark comedy.
So he clearly is interested in sort of like dark human nature.
Yes, big time. He loved the story too. I saw an interview he did where he was just like, the story just seemed so fascinating. I just really wanted to tell it because I couldn't believe it was real. Kind of thing.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. It calls to us. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives richer, calmer, and frankly, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby or trails worth traveling to and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Whether you're looking for a laid-back walk with family or something more adventurous to get your heart pumping, AllTrails gives you the tools you need to get out there and find your outside. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download, and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyway, so Benicio del Toro, it's one of his most nuanced performances, because he has to do a lot of things. He has to have this bravado, but he also has to have this vulnerability because he wants to escape, but he also has a tough exterior, but he also knows he has to play by the rules, otherwise he could have his privileges taken away. But he also is a schemer, and he's scheming from the moment he realizes that, you know, when he, you know, by happenstance, you know, he's put into that back room because he's hiding from, I think, the cell tossers. They're tossing the cells, and he's like putting him in there, and he's like hiding for some reason because David Morse wants him to not be seen or something like that. And then because he's in there, he starts sort of looking around and he realizes, like, holy shit, like, what is going on? You know, he realizes that these vents are there, and like that room that he's in goes all the way to the basement. And from that moment on, you realize he's like, oh, there's something we could do here. And then what happens to, why does Sweat, for some reason, Sweat gets pulled out of his cell for some reason. I forget why, but Sweat and them used to be in the same cell. For some reason, Sweat gets kicked down to the bottom floor. It kind of fucks up their plans to escape. And you see Richard Matt really flex his muscles in terms of what he can manipulate, the power he has in this prison to get things done. And he's able to, you know, manipulate, I think, a young kid who would just come up there to basically help set the thing on fire. So that way, it gets the guy who's in Sweat's current cell in trouble to switch.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, fuck, that's impressive.
Was it because he got into the fight? Is that why Paul Dano originally? Because he gets into this random scrap.
Oh, maybe it was the scrap, or maybe somebody says something to Tilly about something like that. Yeah, some sort of scrap. And he gets put off. He's no longer able to be in the tailor shop, and they put him in the library. And mm-hmm. So because of that, now Richard Matt has Tilly all to himself because David Sweat is no longer in the tailor shop. And that's really where the story picks up, where it gets really, really interesting, is Richard Matt, played by Benicio, slowly works his way into Tilly's favor and says all the right things and realizes how vulnerable she is, and it basically exploits that. And if, as you may recall, I feel like he's like fucking got a buzz on this entire movie. Like, I think he's half drunk the entire movie because he's always sipping out of that red mug. He's, you know, because he's been able to make friends with guards, you know, they often will bring in alcohol. David Morse will often give him a flask of alcohol, and so he's always able to get basically have a buzz going, which I think ultimately becomes part of his demise at the end of the show. But because of that, you know, he's able to ask Tilly, hey, do you want a drink? And then it starts to, you know, get a little hot and heavy, and he starts saying the right things. And there's, I think it was episode two, it opens on Benicio's face, or no, it opens on a boy riding a horse galloping in slow motion, and it dissolves to Benicio's face, and he's kind of looking outside out a window, and it's a very intense looking face. And then the whole episode happens, and then you realize at the end of the episode that face is him getting a blowjob from Tilly.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, god damn that face. And he's getting, you know, blown while dreaming of being that boy who ran away on a horse, because he's looking out the window of where he wants to be. He wants to be outside the prison. Just absolutely, as I say, this show is like a painting. Like, it's like poetry to me. Like, there's everything about it is well done. I can't believe I'd only seen it once, because I watched it back. I'm like, oh, I should watch this every year. You know, like, this should be in a rotation for me. It's so damn good.
Dude, the rewatch is just as good. You're like, you finish the first episode, you're like, well, I got to keep going. And then it's 4:30 in the morning, you're like, well, I got to keep going.
He's like, I got to finish it now.
I
got to finish it, man. Yes.
His delivery of the line, you're not going to tell anybody. Do you remember this moment? It's so weird and so big and so completely unexpected from what you would think he would deliver that line. And it's like such a specific Benicio, like, I can picture Ben Stiller watching that and being like, what the hell just happened? Like, why did he say the line so crazy and big?
Right.
It kind of like jolts you as the audience. You're like, oh, this dude, like, there's something else here. He's not just this sort of composed, sensible veteran of the prison. Like, something else, there's something other happening with this guy.
Don't tell anybody.
There's always something under the surface with him in his performances. Yeah. There's something else under the surface.
It's so off kilter. It's one of the more unique line readings I can remember from the past several years.
I think he says it in a weird way. You're not going to tell anybody.
But he drags it out and he does this arm move. It's so wild.
Right.
I think the episode ends with the line. It's like episode 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yep, it's so specific to Benicio's energy.
So much, yeah. I know that he's a painter. Like he has a soft side, you know, yes, he's like a painter. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's like this guy is so layered, you know what I mean? He's like, he's magnetic, but he's also like unpredictable at the same time. You know, it's like there's a real duality there. It's like he's a smooth talker and artist on the surface, but with an undercurrent of violence that and control is just simmering, you know, underneath. And I think when you see his character do what they did to get into jail, you understand, oh, this guy's a fucking lunatic. He is not as cool, calm, and collected as I thought. This guy is a violent criminal. Like, holy shit, look out, man.
That episode's hard to watch, the flashback one.
Very hard to watch.
When you get there on the rewatch, that's the one you're like, oh no, this is tough. Like this is no longer fun. That is like truly sadistic.
And I forgot what Richard Matt did. I remember vividly that cop opening scene in the slow burn. Yeah. I remember what David Sweat had did to get in there, but I totally forgot what he did. And so when it happened, I was like, oh God. Oh,
they drag it out. The guy is like very friendly, and it's really awful to watch, truthfully.
It's so drawn out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
really, really painful.
I mean, it has to be like they're just trying to tell you what happened. So like you don't want to sugarcoat it.
Here are these two guys who you've kind of been rooting for. This is what they did to get in here. So just so you know, I want you to have the whole context before you make up your mind about whether or not they should escape or not.
Yes. that's brutal.
Yeah, absolutely brutal. All right, just a couple more things. So yeah, you know, stillness, we talk about this a lot, about his ability to convey things through stillness, to dominate a scene without even like saying a word, just being there, his presence. It's the same from Sicario. It's the same thing here. So much his interactions with Tilly are just so layered in the subtle power dynamics and the gamesmanship that he's doing to her. Basically saying, oh, we'll go to Mexico, you know, we can get a house. She's like, what about Sweat? Sweat can have his own house. She's like, oh, okay, you know. And the whole thing about the cows, she's like, we'll get some cows, you know, and we can trade that for a house. Like, cows are so valuable down there. Like, the way he's just playing her, because he knows how easy it is to manipulate this girl, because that's just what she wants. She wants to live a fantasy, and he's giving her that fantasy. It's truly, truly remarkable. It's unsettling. It's deeply human, but it's also proof that he remains one of the most commanding screen presences of his generation, which I think we've basically said a million different ways. What else can I say about this show? I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about? I know this was your number three. So any other topics you want to discuss?
I think it's one of the better limited series of the past couple decades. Like I said, I rewatched it, and it was just as riveting the second time, even though I knew all the beats.
Right.
And you're so charmed by him initially when he's in the prison as this guy who's sort of looking out for Dana, and he has these different relationships, even though you know clearly he's not a good guy. But that turn, the trajectory of how awful and truly terrible he is, because what he did to this old man to get in there is so horrible.
Yeah.
But it all feels like the same person, even in the last episode when they're on the run and he's drinking too much. Oh, and Dano's like, we have to have a plan or else we're going to get caught. That. He totally falls apart. Like that's who he is when he's on the outside.
The climax of the show, I think, rewatching it, is that moment where, you know, so they find the cabin. And they're searching it, you know, and Sweat is like obviously a man of action. He knows what he's doing. You know, Matt was the planner. Sweat was the executor. Like Sweat had to execute Matt's plan because Matt was old and drunk and, you know, didn't have the same physical abilities that Sweat had. Mm-hmm. So of course Sweat's, you know, trying to do his due diligence and find supplies, and he sees the cabinet. He immediately closes it and it catches his attention. He's like, What's in there? He just like Sweat just looks. He's like, fuck. He's like, because he knows this is like his kryptonite. Of course, he opens it and he's like, it's just alcohol, bro. And he's like, bro, you know, he's a lot of bros. And he drinks it and he starts pulling out. He's like, all right, time to party. And of course, there's like 6 bottles, 7 bottles in there. and this kicks off, you know, a drunken bender basically. And he can't barely walk because he's just so dehydrated, and he's drinking river water even though he's telling him not to. He's like, don't drink it, man, you get sick. And he's like shitting his pants and or shitting the toilet, you know, and everything like that. That's a great scene too, where he goes to shit and he's like, dude, this is disgusting. He's like, oh, sorry, I got sick. And then he finds the gun above it, and he opens the door, and Benicio Del Toro is like sitting there waiting for him. He's just sort of like, he's got like this just drunk stare. Yeah, he has this menacing. And I've known people who are creepy drunks. Like when they get drunk, you're not somebody you want to be around because they just get really, really creepy. And he nails that look. When David Sweat opens the door of the bathroom, he's just sitting there waiting for him with this creepy ass drunken look. And he's like, take a shot with me, because it's his birthday. They find out they're watching the news, and they find out right. It's actually David Sweat's birthday. So he's like, I want you to take a shot with me. And he makes him take the shot and everything. That's a great moment of tension between the two. And you're starting to realize like this relationship is a little rocky. Sweat doesn't really know if he can trust Matt at this point. But then it comes to the moment I'm talking about is they're forced to leave the cabin because the cabin owner comes back and they have to leave in a real hurry. So they're kind of out of sorts and they're on the run, obviously they're on the run. He is drinking more and more, and he's like talking incessantly, and he like won't shut up. Eventually he sort of sits down at this like abandoned home, and Sweat approaches him. He's like, dude, we gotta keep going, man, like come on. He's like being really nice. He's like, come on, man, we're so close. And he keeps like being drunk and stupid, and I don't remember exactly the line, but Sweat just goes like, why do you have to do this? We're so fucking close.
I know. You're just you're furious because
you know, it's like you're just there with him. Like, we're so and it's the first time he raises his voice the entire show.
Yeah.
And he just screams it because it's like that's so desperate. We're so fucking close. I know. Why do you have to do this? And Benicio, the way he plays that is so good, because he goes from being like playfully drunk to realizing I have a problem. I am going to fuck this up. Like, you can see it in his face. He's like, he doesn't have any words, but he's just sort of like his face. He grabs his face and he's like, yep, I am going to fuck this up. Because he's so obsessed with Tilly basically fucking them over. Like, he can't let that go. He's like, you know, why didn't she come pick us up? This girl fucked us. We could have been to Mexico by now. And that's really what is what's, you know, put this, the plan that he had in his mind, you know, obviously got fucked by Tilly not showing up. And so he just can't let that go. And that's why I think he's essentially drinking, because A, he's an alcoholic, but also he can't seem to let that go. And that's all he's talking about the entire time. He's like, this fucking bitch. And that moment I remember seeing, I'm like, it was such a like, oh shit, you're right. Like, this is the end of the line. And then soon after that, Sweat basically abandons him because he's like, we should steal this cop car. And Sweat's like, dude, no, like, are you crazy? And then he tries to, you know, he goes up the hill, you know, and Sweat basically like uses that as an excuse to kind of like back up. He's like Homer Simpson, back up into the bushes, like, see you later. You know what I mean? Like, gotta go. Then he just starts sprinting, and they're basically, it's kind of a sad, it's honestly a sad moment, because like, they're your buddies. We've been on this buddy friendship for 7 episodes, and now they're breaking up. I know. It's a breakup, and it's really sad that because it's totally invested in these guys, and now they're breaking up. And you know that Matt's fucked, because Sweat is the survival guy, and Matt is three sheets to the wind. Like, he has no survival instincts, you know? And so you're like, oh, and it's so sad. He's like, Sweat. He's like trying to find him. Like, you just hid, right? Like, I'm going to find you. He never shows up. And then Benicio, what he's doing on his own, like those final scenes, like there's a lot of shots of him just sort of wandering the woods. He's wearing this like pseudo rain cape, and the way he walks, because he's still kind of buzzed and hammered, he's just sort of this majestic way of moving through the woods, you know, alone and free, but drunk, but also stranded and kind of screwed, you know. And he just plays that sad drunk absolutely perfectly, and then ultimately becomes part of his demise, because he just doesn't know how to survive, and he tries to steal a car by shooting at it, and he can't shoot for shit because he's got a shotgun, and you're not going to do that with a shotgun, buddy. So anyways, I wanted to talk about that scene because I feel like, to me, it's the climax of the show, because you realize that they could have done this, you know, their inner demons hadn't caught up with them. So, I love the show. I can't believe that was only my second time watching it. I can't say enough about it. I think when I think of like one-off miniseries, I think of True Detective season one, Chernobyl, and this. These are like my big three when it comes to like miniseries. Now, technically, True Detective is not really a miniseries; it's an anthology series. Chernobyl is more of a miniseries. But I remember this and Chernobyl came out, I think, within a year of each other, and it was like peak television, streaming television.
It's fantastic. It really is.
Fantastic. I'm so glad that we're so aligned in our picks right now.
Because it's not like he doesn't have options, but yeah, it was an easy top three.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
For me.
Well, I'll say this about him is that he's been in a lot of stuff, but he's not always the lead and he doesn't always have the most screen time. So when I was making my choices, I was like, well, I want to pick stuff that he's in a lot, you know, like you could go, there's a lot of directions you could go where he's, you know, got these bit parts, but they're really memorable. But it's like, is that, am I doing justice to his draft? You know what I mean?
Right. It's a conundrum.
So, it's a conundrum, right?
That's a nice segue. You want a quote?
Yes, I hope I know it.
I said, you flip you for real.
Is this Snatch?
Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects.
Better flip you for real. Fenster. So, okay, this is the conundrum with Benicio, right? Smallest part of anyone in the main crew, probably by far, least screen time. You know the least about him and everything.
That's correct, yes.
So we don't even have to really go into the weeds about this movie. We can keep it kind of brief about Benicio, because this is like a game-changing in the discussion for best movie of the decade for me.
Yes.
Like Usual Suspects was just like mind-blowing, still is to me, like just a masterclass of script writing and direction. Yep. But this is the first time I saw him. He's incredibly memorable. Like it really feels like he created a character that is completely different from anything else he still has done. Like I never felt like he repeated Fenster. He's just this kind of like shaky, sketchy, wormy guy who's like sort of getting by, and he speaks so uniquely.
Yes.
And the way he dresses is so grimy, and the way he moves, he has this incredible walk It's like even the way he walks is like you can tell this guy is bad news. But I mean, when they're doing the lineup and they're all doing the line readings,
Oh yeah.
that's
I mean,
just
that's
amazing, right? Like that's one of the best scenes of the decade, I think.
I think it's up there as one of the all-time movie scenes of all.
Yeah.
I think all, I mean, it's like top like 100 of all time movie scenes. Like that is, it's in that discussion of how good that scene is and how iconic it has become. And the stories told about that scene and, you know, the way it's the, all how the actors, you know, what took place and how they got those performances, et cetera. Yeah. It's like mythologized at this point.
When they're all doing the different line readings, like "Hand me the keys," you've heard the way Benicio says it,
Cocksucker.
like he's laughing and everyone else is laughing, and that feels totally unscripted, like completely organic. Like Benicio tried a line and that made everyone else laugh, and maybe Kevin Pollak busted his balls. I love that take so much because it makes all of them so endearing. If you can get them to actually laugh, like now I'm on
Yeah.
their side because I see them as real people.
Big time.
Hand me the keys, you fucking cocksucker.
Number two, step forward.
Give me the fucking keys, you fucking cocksucker
Knock it
motherfucker!
off, get back. Number three, step forward.
Hand me the keys, you cocksucker.
In English, please.
Excuse me.
In English.
How many fucking keys? You cocksucker. What the fuck?
Number four, step forward.
Small role, first thing I ever saw him in.
Okay.
He's phenomenal. He's the first one who gets killed off. He's
He
not in it
is.
very much,
He is,
but it
yes.
is one of the first things I think about with Benicio is Usual Suspects.
Correct. You're not wrong about that.
It was one of those situations where it's like, I could take something where he's in it a lot more, but does it mean as much to me? It doesn't really. And I'm even trying to separate like character and movie. Like, yeah, the movies are awesome, but because it was the first thing I saw him in and it was so significant and it became like this kind of phenomenon, I just think it's a nice bow for the 2-round Benicio draft. And we can do honorable mentions, we can talk about other stuff.
Sure.
But I just think, yeah, this is when I met Benicio. And then Sicario is when we became lifelong friends.
That's a nice way to put it. I like that. That's good. Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Yeah.
But this is an
Okay.
amazing rectangle here. One battle after another, Usual Suspects, Sicario, Escape from Dannemora.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an awesome foursome. Truly, like, I probably use that word way too much, awesome, but that him, it really feels appropriate.
That's a fun weekend. Yeah. That's a fun weekend of watches right there. You're not gonna have a bad time
No.
With those movies. With that, yeah. When he's and that really put him on the map. If we're gonna speak about, you know, how did he break into Hollywood? That really put him on the map. And got him to get, I think that led to Fear and Loathing, I wanna say.
Yeah,
And then
Fear and
all and
Loathing's only a couple years later.
a couple years later, yep. Fear and Loathing, and then he ends up in, you know, Traffic, and then 21 Grams, and you know, wins the Oscar and everything like that. So it's the character, and that's what I think is so great about him. I did not rewatch it. I've seen the movie many times. I did not rewatch it. I don't have it fresh in my mind, but I know that.
It's one of those movies like even if, because I hadn't seen it, like I didn't need to
Yeah.
rewatch it for this. I just,
Right.
it's sort of indelible. So like if you brought up a scene to me, I'd be able to talk about it.
What are you saying?
I say he'll flip you.
He'll what?
Flip you. Flip you for real.
Yeah, I'm shaking. Come on.
Okay.
Answer my question.
And you hit me in the back. Hello?
During my research, like of this guy and learning about him, his career, you know, he was not afraid to take risks. I think he was like, I think he did the Adler School, which is Stanislavski, which is like method stuff. And you can see a lot of his, the way he moves his body, like the body work that he must have done in school. Like
Yeah.
he uses that to inform character and to make them unique. Like he could have that easily character could have been a very could have been a thrown away, you know, he's killed off red shirt type Star Trek character. You know what I mean? Like just killed off and whatever. But
Yeah.
that's his innate talent and skill is like there's no small parts, only small actors, right? That's the line. That he was like, no, I'm going to have fun with this, you know? And that's what you want from any actor, is like, you want them to be excited about the role, despite how many lines they have. You want them to be excited about the character and also take some sort of ownership over the character. And if there's not a lot on the page, that means there's a lot for you to fill in. And I think he jumped on that opportunity with Fenster and rolled with it. And I think that's just a microcosm. Like, we were seeing a little glint of what this guy could do given the opportunity. And obviously you saw that unfold over his entire career since then. It's a great pick. Obviously, legendary film. I don't know what else we could say about that film. It's probably one of the ultimate twists in cinema history.
Oh yeah. All time
twists, I think. I don't know how you can top that. It's probably one of the all-time twists. Yeah, and it came out in the 90s, where crime movies, like, you know, like we talked about Seven before, like, it's just in a great pocket of 90s indie cinema.
Seven, Heat, Usual Suspects, all the same year.
All the same year. So that was the same year? Oh, shit.
95, dude.
Oh, my God. All those three in the same year. Holy shit.
Well, you know, listen. Sinners, damn. Weapons, One Battle After Another. That's, for me, that's pretty damn good.
That's a good run. Yeah, that's a good run for sure. Yeah, I saw all three of those, and I'm proud of myself. I saw all three of those in theaters, so I supported the arts this year.
Benicio gives the crew like an extra edge here.
Mm.
I mean, they're all great. The cast is just, but he gives it sort of like an authenticity.
It's Pollock. It's Pollock, Baldwin,
Gabriel Byrne,
Benicio, yeah. and then Benicio. So there's four, or is there five? There's five.
Stephen Baldwin, Gabriel Byrne, Benicio, Kevin Pollock, Spacey. Five.
Spacey. Pff, all right, duh.
That guy. Spacey. That other guy.
That other guy, right. I forgot about him. Yeah, I would agree with that. Because other than Spacey, I think Benicio is probably the most talented actor in that group in terms of acting ability, I would say. So other than Spacey. So yeah, he absolutely gives them a sharper edge. Yeah, you need that. Like, it's... He probably recognizes, like, this group is missing something. It's missing some flair, and I can bring that. And it's just because the character, like you said, the character's there to basically raise stakes, right? And show that the situation is serious. So, like, why not embellish and make it someone memorable and someone that is somebody that you'd want to hang out with because he's such a unique character. And just the way he moves his body, the walk, you're right. Like I said, like, he's got a swagger, but in this one, it's a bit more swagger than that. The way he walks around in that big suit. And
like, he's always on edge. He needs a hit or a drink of something to settle down. He just never feels neutral.
Right.
And all the other guys, as good as they are, they feel sort of put together and confident. Yeah. And then you have this Fenster guy who just feels wiry. Like, especially the first time you see this, because everyone else, for most people, they knew everybody who was also in this cast. And I think Benicio was the fresh face. We were like, what's the deal with that guy? I don't know him at all. Mm-hmm. Like, where did they pull him from? He's doing some really interesting things here. And it's like you said, this totally puts him on the map. And then he's just popping up in all these different cool movies.
He really is. Great pick. I can't argue with it. It's a great way to round him out, because it is what sort of put him on the map, and it's a microcosm of what he brings to any role and to any film. Is like, he's gonna make it his own, and he's gonna bring creative ideas, just like he did with One Battle After Another, with Sicario. I'm sure he brought some thoughts to Escape at Dannemora, in terms of how, you know, his character would do certain things. So I love it, and it makes sense. Like, when you learn about, like, how he went to school and how he was taught, it makes sense that he would be a very collaborative, because he's a very method guy. And a lot of his performances are so physical in nature. And that was some of the thing, watching some of his earlier work, because I did watch some pretty random stuff, because I really want to get a more well-rounded idea of who this guy was and how he started and how what he was doing as an actor. And it was always something to do with physicality, something to do with the body. It wasn't just speaking lines. It was always something with the body. And there's one thing in particular. I watched this movie called Basquiat, which is about this painter in the 70s and 80s. And Benicio del Toro played like his friend. and they have an argument in the cab, and Benicio gets out of the cab, and rather than just like walking, runs up to a street walking sign and just starts doing pull-ups to get his frustration out. And it's like, there's no way that was written. There's
yeah,
no
sure.
way that that was written. That's something that yeah. Benicio just felt like his character would do. In that yeah. moment, I'm like, God, this guy is so interesting. It's such a small role. He's mm-hmm. very sweet in it. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like he brings something uniquely physical to all these roles that he's in. He's not going to let a small role, you know, keep him down. And that's all you want out of an actor, is someone who's going to show up and bring something to it that you weren't expecting.
I think that would be intimidating. If Benicio comes to our set, I would have no idea what he's going to do. And he's going to have ideas, and the ideas are probably going to be good, and that could throw you off, but you just sort of have to go with it. Cause you think, right. Well, this guy, clearly he has an instinct for the game. So
he's got an instinct and he's got a proven track record. So I would absolutely welcome it. You know,
sure. It's,
I think a lot of these, somebody like DiCaprio, like you realize it's like these actors who've been working for 30 years, they've been on film sets. They've been on more film sets than, you know, than me. Like maybe they may not ever step behind the camera, but they've been on sets and they've been probably in editing rooms before. It's like, they know this business, they know storytelling. So even though, you know, DiCaprio and, you know, people like Brad Pitt, Del Toro, like they've never directed before officially, but like they've been on so many sets in their life that they probably could. And so who am I to be like, nah, man, you're an actor. Like just stay in your lane, Del Toro.
Sure.
No, yeah. I'm going to be like, well, what do you think, buddy? What would you do? You know what I mean? What were your thoughts?
Benicio, was that good for you?
Was that good for you? You like it? You want to change it? Yeah. That's, I mean, he's an interesting like personal life too. Like I don't know too much about it, but I know he's had a slew of lovers over his 30, 40
years. Oh, I'm sure he's been crushing it.
Yeah, I mean, I watched some interviews of him like in the 90s and the early 2000s. Women was like, "Woo, Benicio!" Like this guy was a heartthrob, man. People forget that this guy was a heartthrob. You know, he still is. Honestly, like he's still like a good looking. He's aging gracefully. You know, he's like we just said, one bell after another. It's like he's still got it.
He's more maybe the man now than he ever has been. Like he's just one of the, he's like it is sort of Brad Pittish, where it's like he's still the man. We should do still a draft at some point, like. Last guy you'd want to walk into a bar when you're hitting on the bartender. Like, can you imagine it's like going well with you and then Del Toro walks in and you're just like, well, I guess how much do I owe? What's the bill? Okay. Thanks. See
you. I'll see myself out. Yeah. It was nice to get to know you, but yeah, I think I'm done here.
Take it, Benicio.
When I told my girlfriend we're doing this, she's like, ooh, Benicio. I was like, okay. Oh, okay.
All right, settle down.
Settle down. All right. We're not going to go meet the guy. We're just going to watch his movies. Like, jeez. But she's like, she perked up. She's like, oh, Benicio? I'm like, see, everyone loves him. Everybody loves Benicio del Toro. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's
so damn likable. He's the man.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, I will say, I agree with you on Sicario 2. I think that's a really fun sequel. It's basically Sicario without the moral compass. Correct. So it's just like way more action, way yes. more Benicio.
Right.
But like not in a stupid way. Not in just like
No, not at all.
It's a solid sequel.
It's a solid sequel. I think, but it ends on such a cliffhanger. You're like, we gotta get a third one here. Like, I gotta know more. Like Carl Reyes is still out there. Like, we gotta get this guy. Like, come on. Like, you know, I was watching, I remember I'd only seen it once and I saw it in theaters. And I remember feeling like underwhelmed because I wanted like a real catharsis, and you didn't really get a real catharsis, because like the catharsis in one was the revenge. He completed his revenge, and in this one he doesn't complete his revenge. What Josh Brolin promises him in the opening, he never gets to do because he's caught, and then you think he's dead, and then it turns out he's not dead, and he's like, okay, now I'm gonna train my replacement, and you're like, oh, we're gonna end right here. Oh shit, okay, you better make another one. And then of course they didn't, because I don't think it made enough money necessarily like the first one did. And then of course the pandemic happens 2 years later. So they're like, I don't know, but I've heard rumblings that a third one is very, very real. Josh Brolin did an interview 2 months ago and said that it's a very, very real, and they're trying to get everybody back for the third one. So
we got to get Taylor.
I know. And it's crazy. He wrote the second one.
I know, that's what I'm saying. This like really isn't, I mean, the first one's incredible, but like
it is,
just you hear the term sequel and you're like, you roll your eyes. Not the case with this. Like,
no,
really entertaining.
The tone is still there. The pacing is still there. Yeah, you're right. The only thing that's missing is that moral ambiguity, because basically they're like, we're going for it. Here we go.
Yeah, we're just going to destroy these guys.
Catherine Keener's like kind of trying to be a moral compass, because it's only because politics. It's not really like in a human compass. It's a political PR nightmare that she's trying to avoid, which is very different. They got the girl. It's like, Josh Brolin has to make a decision. Like, do I kill the girl? Or do I just, no, I'll put her in witness protection. So you get a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. It's not as strong as that first one, but it's still a solid sequel with great action. Great set pieces, you know, and Benicio's still dope as hell.
Benicio just killing people nonstop.
Killing people nonstop, dude.
Yeah, the first one you just weren't ready for it.
No, you weren't.
You had no idea what you were walking into.
Yeah, no idea. Absolutely no idea. And that's what made it, and you're just blown away, because you're not expecting. You think it's gonna be, you know, Emily Blunt and Benicio del Toro like kicking ass, but it's so much different than that. Like, there is that to it, but it's so much more going on.
Yeah. Any other honorable mentions?
You know, okay, so I'll say another. Okay, so there's one, if you haven't seen this one, Things We Lost in the Fire. Did you watch that?
No, is that Halle Berry?
Halle Berry, that's right.
I never saw it.
Yeah, it's a slower movie. It is Jane Campion is the director. It's a very, like, it's emotional, but it's kind of a little dated. It came out in 2007. But if you're looking for a good Benicio role, it's decent. That was up there for me. Obviously, and then 21 Grams, he's obviously very good in 21 Grams, but that is not, it's not an easy watch. And I totally forgot that it was told non-linear, which was kind of annoying at first, but then I kind of liked it. I'd only seen it once. It was like in a film course years ago. And then I watched it again for this draft, because he got nominated again for Academy Award. He didn't win, but he got nominated again. He's very good in it. He ends up in prison, ironically. That's really about the filmmaker more than about the performances. I mean, Naomi Watts is pretty good, but that movie is really about the film itself and the way the story's told, more so than I think the performances. So that's why I wasn't something that was like super up there for me.
Sean Penn again, too.
Sean Penn once again. That's right. Yeah, they have a bit of a connection. I think Sean Penn directed him in a movie in the late 90s too. Kind of a, I don't remember what it was, but they have a bit of a connection. Was another one. Oh, you know what was a fun one that was cool? You should watch Excess Baggage. Have you heard of this?
No, what is that?
Okay, so that was with him and, ironically, him and Alicia Silverstone. They dated briefly in the 90s, but they met on this movie.
Oh.
It's like kind of a, it's fun. It's like a rom-com, Alicia Silverstone is a rich kid who's trying to get her dad's attention by faking a kidnapping, and then Benicio del Toro steals the car that she's hiding in to be kidnapped in by accident because he's a car thief, and he runs a business with Harry Connick Jr. boosting cars and selling them. That's the premise, is that she's a stowaway. He takes her back to her thing, and she's like, he's trying to get her to not turn him in, because he's like, I didn't kidnap you. Like, I was just trying to, you know, steal a car. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, well, I'm not. You better take me to this place, because she's trying to get her dad, her rich dad, to prove that he cares about her. And so it's like stupid, silly, but it's like, they have a great chemistry. Alicia Silverstone is very cute in that movie.
I bet they had great chemistry.
They had very good chemistry, and he has a couple of scenes that he shows some real vulnerability. And Christopher Walken kind of plays the bad guy who's like trying to catch her, because he's her dad's, the dad's like fixer. And so they have some fun scenes. It's really fun. It's shot in the Pacific Northwest, because obviously for tax purposes, I think pretty sure they shot in Canada. So it looks really cool because it's got all these great, beautiful landscapes and stuff. But Harry Connick Jr. is really funny in it. That was a fun little one that was never on my radar. But as I was trying to do a deep dive into how this guy kind of got started, I thought that was fun. It's a cute little romp.
It sounds like very different shade for him too.
And I think that's why I thought, I was like, oh, this is different. Like, he's like playing a romantic lead. You know, he's still playing like a criminal, but it's like it's a non-violent crime. He's just stealing cars and trying to sell them for money. And he's very innocent and like just trying to clear his name, and he treats her very nicely. And it just, she's like kind of egging him on and making it more difficult for him to get out of this, because she likes the attention, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's sweet. I thought it was pretty well done. And I never heard of it. It didn't do well at the box office, I guess, but that'd be my other one that I think that I thought was pretty good. I have any other ones? A couple of ones that I would not recommend. So Basquiat came out in 1996. I would not recommend watching that. That was a very bad film. I watched have you ever seen Savages, the Oliver Stone movie?
Oh yeah, that's not good.
Oh God, it was bad.
Yeah, it's not good.
But I had read that like people liked his performance as the villain. Mm. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll give it a shot, you know, just see what it's all about. And man, was it terrible. Oh, he's great, but he's the only one who knows what movie he's in.
Right.
Everyone else thinks they're in a serious drama, and he's like, no, I'm camping this shit up. Like, he was being so over the top, even with the haircut, the way he cut it, he had like a mullet. And he was like just being like really aggressive with the Mexican accent. I was like, oh, this guy knows what movie he's in. But everyone else,
it's Blake Lively.
Blake Lively. Oh God, Aaron Taylor Johnson and Taylor. Oh, see,
I mean, that's a tough triangle for tough acting.
No chemistry whatsoever. Yeah,
and she's like banging both of them, right? And it's like a love triangle.
Yeah, and it's like this voiceover that she does. It's really fucking.
Oh yeah, this is giving me PTSD.
It's awful. Do not watch it. I remember halfway through, Molly's like, she's like, do we have to keep watching this? I was like, oh God. I'm like, I thought he might be good in it. And he's like, he's not bad. He's not the problem.
Sure.
But he's only in so much of the movie. You know what I mean? So that was bad. Do not watch that one.
I mean, his one scene in Sin City is
legendary. It's fun. You know, I agree. That's why, you know, if we were going to do like three more rounds, we could. There's a lot of other movies we could talk about where he like shows up and steals the show. What's another one? Oh, I watched The Wolfman with him and Anthony Hopkins.
How is that? No, not good.
I don't know why he wanted that role, because he doesn't really get to do anything with the character because the Wolfman gets to do all the fun stuff and he has to kind of play it straight. So I don't really know why the only thing I can think of is like maybe he wanted to work with Anthony Hopkins or something, and that's why he decided to do it. But it just, he seemed miscast in that role. I didn't understand him in that, because he doesn't really do anything that interesting. He doesn't seem like he's having fun with the role, I think, which is like his MO. It's like you can always tell he's having a great time in a movie. And this one, I didn't feel like he was having a good time. Ironically though, guess who the love interest is? Emily Blunt.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
5 years later. Yep. 5 years later. She was kind of a no-name back then, too. This was 2010, I think this came out. So she was kind of a... She was unknown at that point.
Did Benicio have a moment with Scarlett? Am I making that up?
I've heard that. Yes. I've heard that. He's had... Like I said, he's had an interesting love life.
I'm sure it's a remarkable list.
I'm sure he's... I don't want to know because it just made me feel bad about myself.
didn't make anyone feel bad.
I think it made anybody feel bad. Yeah, he's a good looking guy and he's very charming. He's got that, you know, the Latin charm. He's got a banging on all cylinders, man. He does have a kid, ironic. So he actually, you know, who he has a kid with is, Rod Stewart's daughter.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Huh. They are not together, but they co-parent. And I think she's older now. I think they had a kid. I think she was born in 2011.
Okay.
So she's older now, but yeah, he co-parents with her. And so he does have a child. And he's talked about that in interviews before and how it kind of changes your values very quickly.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, I bet it does, buddy. I bet it does. That's why I took those Marvel jobs. It was like, money, please.
Yes.
Money. I'll take that money.
Right. He's also very funny there as the crazy loon.
Yes. And I was like, as a joke, I was going to be like, all right, my first pick in the Benicio del Toro draft is The Last Jedi. But I didn't do that. No, he didn't deserve that. I remember being in the theater for The Last Jedi, and I remember being like, oh, somebody's not very good. And then Benicio del Toro shows up. And I'm like, oh, Benicio. And I'm like, oh, this is going to get better now, right? And no, you know what? He made some questionable choices with that role. He's still one of the highlights of that movie because he just is electric on screen. He's just drawn to this guy anytime he opens his mouth. So yeah, he's fantastic in every way, shape or form. Yeah. It was really fun to kind of explore that guy's career and see where we started. And excited to see where he goes. He doesn't really have too much coming up. I'm really hoping Sicario 3 is a thing. So he did a Netflix movie called Reptile. I don't know if you've seen that one yet.
I saw that.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Had some like Gone Girl vibes to it.
It did, right? Yeah. It was it's a solid movie. He's really good in it. He's teaming up with that guy. His name is Grant Singer. And he's doing, according to his IMDb, he's got something coming out with him, but it's like it's in pre-production right now. I don't think they've shot anything yet, but that's the next thing. So nothing immediate, unfortunately. We're gonna have to wait for him to come out with something.
He's one of our more interesting, talented people. He really is. He's a fascinating guy.
He always makes
it better, whatever the thing is.
Whatever he's in, he makes it better. And whatever he is, you're like, you just, your heart skips to be like, ooh, Benicio.
Yeah.
Benicio's here. Yeah.
Unpredictable.
But he's always, you're always going to be entertained. You're always going to enjoy whatever he's doing in the movie or the show.
All right. I think we did it.
I think we did it. I think we did him justice. He'd be proud.
Yeah, he would. If he has time for us when he's not hanging out with smoke shows.
Smoke show after smoke show. That's right. It's fun, man. Always a pleasure. This is cool. So what's next? What are we doing? I don't remember. I know that we were going to circle back with Ben and do something.
I don't know. I think I'm going to take a break because I want to write some stuff.
Okay. All right, buddy.
So I don't know when. I have stuff planned for the rest of the year, but then I'm probably going to take a break so I can work on some more stuff and maybe make something.
Okay.
Like I'm just kind of getting the itch to make something. And I haven't really honestly had the itch to like shoot something in like years, but I'm starting to get, we got to make our one battle after another. I think that's the next step here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We do.
It's like what I said to Ben when we finish, I was like, we got to make our weapons. Like that's where I'm at now. I'm sort of,
yeah,
I love the hang, but I'm sort of like, all right, I talked about it. Now I want to do it.
I feel you.
You know?
Yep.
So
yep,
I think I we have you. To like pull an Avengers assemble. Assemble the people who really like have the work ethic,
right?
We know a lot of people who love to talk about it, but like who's really like trying to do it and can.
Sure.
So I think that's the next step.
Yeah, I hear that, man. You know, a buddy of mine who I used to work with in New York lives out here now, and he has a job where he sometimes gets these invites to like industry screenings, and he got one, and he asked, and he got to get a plus one, and he asked me, "Do you want to go?" I was like, and it was for Frankenstein. I was like, "Fuck!" I was like, "Fuck yeah, let's do it." And it was like two Sundays. It was two nights ago, and it was at the Egyptian Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, which I'd never been to. Awesome theater, really cool place to see a movie. It's one theater. Yeah, and so Guillermo comes out with Oscar Isaac, and they introduce the film, and he tells his story about, you know, how he discovered Frankenstein when he was a boy watching public access, you know, on Mexican TV, and he was raised very Catholic, and he discovered that Frankenstein was going to be his Bible because he was like, screw the Catholic Bible, this is going to be my Bible, and how he's been trying to make this movie for like 50 years, and I see the film, it's great. It's on Netflix. I don't know if you've watched it yet, but I really enjoyed it. I don't know much. I didn't know much about the movie. Or I know much about the story of Frankenstein. Like, my exposure to Frankenstein was through Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein as a kid. Like, that's the movie I grew up watching. So I didn't know a lot about, I didn't know it was a book. I didn't know who Mary Shelley was. So I'm like really embarrassed I didn't know that shit, but it just never really came across my radar. We didn't read that book in school or anything like that. So then I watched the movie. I'm like, oh, this is kind of dope. Like, this is like kind of a cool story. Like this passed down generational trauma passed down from father and son, and how it's being told from two different points of view and everything like that. And the action's like dope as hell, like really good action, great sound design, great production design. Like, they built these sets, the costumes, like they're real. They feel lived in, like they're on this icy tundra, and like these, their beards look frozen. Their clothes look frozen. The sets they built, like the special effects, the makeup, the creature, all this, everything was like amazing. And then they bring out the guys and they sit down, they interview every single one of them one by one. And it's like, you know, all this stuff about AI and fucking, you know, AI videos and all this shit. It's like, and then you see this and you're like, you're seeing people at the top of their game making stuff. And then you have Guillermo del Toro, who's just like, fuck AI, like on the mic, like being like, fuck AI. And he, when he introduced the film, he's like, listen, you know, like, we went out of our way to try to make everything we could in this movie real. He's like, there is like 10% of it. Obviously, there's only so much, just, you know, is visual effects, because there's some things you need computers to do. He's like, but 90% of this movie is real. And that's the way I wanted to make this movie. And it's like, I wanted it to be a film that brought back, you know, like classic big budget Hollywood filmmaking, you know, where you could see where the money was spent. You know what I mean? And it was really inspiring, dude. Like, I've been pretty bitter and jaded since I've moved here, you know, obviously because of like the strikes that happened when I moved here. And then after the strikes are over, you have all this people talking about AI writing scripts, and then a year later, you're like, oh no, AI can't make the video now. You're like, oh my God, what is happening right now? Like, wait a minute. Like, I just got here, you know, like, this is not what I wanted. So, so it's, you know, the industry, we need more people. Like, I hope that more people like Guillermo speak out about this type of stuff, because we need the people in power to push back on this stuff. Otherwise we're in real trouble. So anyways, to answer your question, a very long winded answer. Yes, I was feeling very inspired by that. And, I haven't made anything narratively in a while. I've done some like freelance stuff with some people, but there's like, it's like Instagram doc style stuff. It's nothing narrative. So yeah, I've also been missing that. And it was cool to go to an event where you could see people who are so passionate about their craft, their individual craft, and bringing a story to life, and being led by a guy who's, you know, just the most adorable, passionate filmmaker you could think of, in Guillermo del Toro. He really is just like an absolute sweetheart. That's the answer to your question there, buddy. It was a long answer. I apologize.
All right, dude. I'll send you it. You know, 10 minutes.
Okay. All right, man. Look forward to it. You have a good night.
You too.
Talk soon.
See you.
All right. Bye.
I'm very excited to be here tonight to present the award for Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role. And the nominees are Jeff Bridges in The Contender, Willem Dafoe in Shadow of the Vampire. Benicio del Toro in Traffic. Albert Finney in Aaron Brockovich. Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator.
And the Oscar goes to Benicio del Toro in Traffic.
This is the first Academy Award and nomination for Benicio del Toro.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'd like to thank the members of the Academy. I'd also like to thank Steven Soderbergh, Laura Bickford, Ed Zwick, Marshall, Rick and Eileen, everyone at USA Films. And I also like to dedicate this to two locations where we shot this film. We went from Washington, D.C. all the way to San Diego, California. I'd like to dedicate this to the people of Nogales, Arizona, and Nogales, Mexico. Thank you.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.